This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. Today you'll hear about new rumors of Kim Jong-un's failing health, as well as Jerry Falwell Jr.'s failing spiritual health. Steve Dace keeps bringing up the COVID facts. Another shooting video sparks widespread vandalism. And is Moody Bible Institute going woke? First up, okay, this wasn't in my list, but I couldn't help it. Danbury, Connecticut is renaming their sewage plant. Did you hear about this? After late night host John Oliver delivered an expletive-filled rant last month against the town of Danbury, Connecticut, Mayor Mark Boughton has announced that they're naming their sewage plant after the famous comedian. Behind me, you'll see the city of Danbury sewer plant, and we're going to rename it the John Oliver Memorial Sewer Plant, Boughton, a Republican, announced in a Facebook video on Saturday. Why? Because it's full of crap, just like you, John. There you go. Kim Jong-un reportedly is in a coma. You may recall that rumors have been swirling about the North Korean dictator's failing health for months. Back in April, reports surfaced claiming that the dictator was clinging to life after a botched heart surgery. Now comes a former aide to South Korean President Kim Dae-jung, who says he believes Kim Jong-un is in a coma now, but not yet dead. He says that the dictator's sister, Kim Jo-jong, has taken up some of the responsibilities of running the country. He claims this knowledge on the basis of South Korean spies. Yeah, that's right, spies. They're spying out North Korea. Jerry Falwell Jr. has reportedly resigned from Liberty University Monday after allegations that he participated in a six-year-long affair between his wife and a pool boy turned business associate. You may recall that Falwell had taken an indefinite leave of absence from his position as president of Liberty University after Falwell posted lewd pictures of himself on Instagram recently. They were not only lewd, they were just ridiculous, silly, inane. Falwell released a statement Sunday night that was published in the Washington Examiner, admitting that his wife had had a brief affair many years ago that he was not involved in at all, and that they had been victims of an extortion scheme by this man. However, Giancarlo Granda came forward Monday with claims that he was the pool boy turned business partner and that the affair had lasted from 2012 to 2018, and Falwell had been involved as a supportive witness. Granda provided text messages and screenshots, which were apparently verified by Reuters, which apparently corroborate his claims. Falwell resigned later on Monday. All of this is why we need weapons for this war, which is why I want to invite you once again to our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, October 1st to the 3rd. We put together a package that is full of feasting and psalm singing, hearty fellowship, and a lineup of speakers that we believe will equip you for this war, including Douglas Wilson, George Grant, Glenn Sunshine, Rod Martin, myself, and the latest to be added to the lineup, perhaps you've heard, but Apologia Church, Apologia Studios own Jeff Durbin will also be joining us in Nashville, October 1st to the 3rd. All of these men are committed to showing you how God's word is a sharp sword to take with you into every battle, from politics to business to education and family and much more. So please join us October 1st to the 3rd as we seek to build a rowdy Christian culture for God's glory and our good. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. Steve Dace, friend of ours, continues hitting the facts. He can't stop. He can't help it. He keeps bringing up the facts. On Monday, Steve pulled out the latest CDC mortality data by demographic, comparing the current odds of dying with COVID to other obscure ways you could die. For example, if you're under a year old, your chance of dying from COVID is the same as being hit by lightning. If you're 1 to 4 years of age, your chance of dying from COVID is the same as being killed by a dog. If you are between the ages of 5 and 14, your chances of dying from COVID are the same as dying in an earthquake. If you're 15 to 24, your chances from dying from COVID are the same as dying from drowning. If you're 25 to 34, your chances from dying from COVID are the same as falling down the stairs. If you're 35 to 44, that's me, my chance of dying from COVID is the same as dying in a fire. If you're 45 to 54, your chance of dying from COVID is the same as dying in a motor accident. If you are 55 to 64, your chance of dying from COVID is the same as dying from poisoning. And if you're 65 to 74 years old, your chances of dying are the same as dying as a professional truck driver. I didn't know that was a thing. Anyways, he also points out in another post that the CDC no longer recommends asymptomatic testing, even after you've been exposed to someone with COVID. No need for any of those people to be tested, because apparently that's skewing all the panic numbers. What we want is people who are very sick and very likely to end up in the hospital so that we can scare everybody, apparently. Also, CDC quietly drops mandatory 14-day quarantine after traveling. That's no longer necessary, and because apparently it doesn't matter. Another police shooting video has surfaced, this time in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the site of the latest riots over the shooting of a man named Jacob Blake. A video shows Blake getting into his car and police officers opening fire, shooting at least 7 times into Blake's back. Blake is in stable condition. But protesters began to gather at the scene of the shooting a few hours later, setting fires and shooting fireworks at police officers. By the end of the night, a car dealership had been burned down, as well as a church, and this church that went up in flames actually had a billboard on the front of it which read Black Lives Matter. Apparently that didn't matter to the rioters. Law enforcement declared an emergency curfew after 10:15 p.m., which was to be in effect until 7 a.m., which was about as effective as woke parents counting to 3, or 3.5, or 5, or 10, or 10.5. Other buildings were vandalized, including a nearby library, a dinosaur museum, and a law office. This comes after 80 days of protest in Portland, supposedly over George Floyd's death. But one begins to get the impression that these are merely excuses. Last up, Moody Bible Institute sounds like it's going woke. A letter purporting to be from the president and provost of Moody Bible Institute assures supporters that a diverse committee has been formed to study issues of race. The letter reports that the task force has been charged with the following 2 major objectives. First, to carefully examine our history in order to understand our past sins and mistakes with the purpose of determining what impact, if any, this history has had on Moody systematically, and 2, to analyze the current ministry of Moody Bible Institute in order to make sure we are reflecting God's values when it comes to all racial issues. I don't know about you, but as soon as I hear that somebody has formed a committee to study this sort of thing, I just assume the worst. Now, you know, I could be surprised. I'd be willing to be surprised, but I'm not optimistic. The letter says the task force will seek to accomplish this work within a 6-month period of time, with a report to be submitted to the executive leadership team of Moody and the Board of Trustees by the end of February 2021. What we need is a college or a church or a seminary, a Christian organization with a biblical backbone willing to simply say, "Thus says the Lord." We don't need a committee. We don't need people from particular demographics telling us what the Bible says. When the apostles had the problems in Acts 6 with the widows, and there were definitely some ethnic elements to the struggle, you've got the Hellenist widows and the Hebrew widows and so forth, they didn't get 3 Hellenists and 3 Hebrews. They didn't get a black man and a Hispanic woman and a, you know, they didn't do that. They got godly men who are willing to say what the Bible says, who are willing to make just judgments. Is there racial vainglory or animosity in our land? Well, of course. Is there police brutality in our land? Yes. Is there sexual infidelity and lies and schemes in our land? Yes. Yes, and yes, our problem is not demographics. Our problem is not that we aren't woke enough or intersectional enough or diverse enough. Our problem is that no one has the courage to simply believe God's word and then obey it and say what it says out loud in public. But the only way to get that kind of courage, that kind of backbone, is to have a completely clean heart, to know that your sins are forgiven, to know that you are justified all the way up in the courts of heaven. It's that kind of justice in your heart that gives you courage to work for justice in this world. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. You can find this and all our shows at crosspolitic.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Our app is the only way to get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey. You know you want to support this, which we call Rowdy Christian Media, and become a Fight Laugh Feast club member. And for a limited time, you can get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt and access to tons of extended discussions with George Grant, Sho Baraka, David French, C.R. Wiley, Eric Erickson, Maj Touré, Doug and Nancy Wilson, Walter Williams, Gary DeMar, and our very own Worldview Shotgun series. You can get $100 off also your registration for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference, where we hope to meet many of you in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register now. Have a great day.